We are continuing in our series in the book of Acts. Tonight we're in Acts chapter 11. We come to a pivotal passage once again. We're thankful for seeing throughout the book of Acts how God is moving in and through people's lives in such a powerful way. We spent time with seeing how many people came on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 accepted the message. People were being added to the faith daily. Many heard and believed. The number grew. We heard early in the book of Acts to 5,000. They spoke the word of God with boldness, and God continued to pour out his spirit in a mighty, mighty way. We've been looking recently at Saul's conversion and following the persecution of the Christians during the time of Stephen's death. People were scattered into various parts of the world, only to fulfill what we read in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And I'm thankful tonight that as we come to God's word, we can learn afresh and anew how God can impact and break through. We want to talk tonight about breakthrough, a spiritual mighty breakthrough in the city of Antioch. Last week, Pastor Stephen spoke and enabled us to see the importance of hearing God's word, not only hearing it. Both Cornelius and Peter heard God's word. They responded to it. Peter began a ministry to the Gentile world. And now we come to the city of Antioch, which became a pivotal mission-sending city that continued to send out missionaries then. And even now we see people, missionaries tonight. May God bless you as you serve him there in Egypt. A great mission field. But let's look at Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarshish to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, here's a key, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We come to the book of Acts in chapter 11, and the city of Antioch is a key city. It was a city of probably over 300,000 people, bigger than Springfield, probably even bigger than Worcester. It was a cosmopolitan city, 15 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. It had a lot of things going for it, commerce and trade. But it was known throughout the world of that time as a very immoral city. In fact, along with the chariot racing that gave entertainment, there was such a rampant spread of immortality. 5 miles out of the city of Antioch, there was a temple to Daphne, which was kind of a fertility type cult, and people would pursue immoral acts, and just day and night. It was a city that just was marked by blatant immorality. And when I read about the city of Antioch, it was clear to me that when you read about Antioch and other places in the New Testament, you think of Athens was a city Paul would go to that was full of idols. You think of Ephesus, where the people wanted to stone Paul because they worshiped at the temple of Artemis or Diana. I also love the great passage there in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, where Paul speaks to the Thessalonican church, and he says to them that he sees in their lives how they turn from idols to serve the living God. And what I want to share tonight for a few minutes is that if God could break through in Thessalonica, if God could break through in Ephesus, and now he's breaking through in Antioch, how many are glad that there's no situation here in the Pioneer Valley, there's no city, there's no individual, there's no person, there's no individual caught up in any type of idolatry or spiritual bondage that God cannot free? If God could move in Antioch, and he did powerfully, he could do so in Egypt. He could do so here in Western Massachusetts continually. So we come to Acts chapter 11. Let's look at verses 19 to 21. It says that the hand of the Lord was upon them, and many people, a great number, believed and turned to the Lord. When it says the hand of the Lord was upon them, it signifies that this was nothing that Peter or anyone else could bring about. It was only by the hand of God. And when we see God moving here in Western Massachusetts, when we see God moving week after week here in Bethany, let's continue to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for all that he has done, for all that he will do. Let's believe that this would be another night in our lives for breakthrough in many areas of our life. The persecution of following the death of Stephen did not stop the message of Christ, but it propelled it forward. We see where God moving in a mighty way. Idols, the major focus of that time, whether it was in Athens or Ephesus or Thessalonica, we see God turning lives around. And it says some of the people spoke only to the Jews, but there were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene who broke through like Peter. This is a unique time when Peter went to Cornelius's house. Cornelius called for Peter, and Cornelius responded to what God was saying, and Peter responded, and he obeyed, and he went, and many people were filled with the Spirit and found Christ as their personal Savior. But here we have people coming from Cyprus and Cyrene who now come to Antioch and speak primarily to non-Jews, Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, with them, and a great number believed, turned to the Lord. Verse 22, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Let's be honest. All of us like good news, don't we? There's so many things we hear daily. There's so many times where you'd be better off turning the TV off or getting off your computer and seeking God's word and spending more time in prayer and reading the good news of the power of the gospel that's still able to change lives in 2022. And that word came back to the church of Jerusalem. And they couldn't have sent a better person to check out what was happening in Antioch. Barnabas is one of my favorite New Testament characters. I love the characteristics about Barnabas. But I would believe, and I would ask for all of us, wouldn't it be great if these words could be said of you and I here in Bethany? Barnabas, Acts 11, verse 24. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. We see Barnabas first in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and verse 37 tells us this, that Barnabas' name was Joseph, but the believers there in Jerusalem called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. You say, Ken, what's the significance of that? It's exactly what the people of Antioch needed at that time. He tells them two things, and I want this to be in my life as I go into the summer months of 2022. He tells them, I want you to remain faithful to the Lord, and I want you to be steadfast in purpose. Barnabas was a son of encouragement. Where he went, he lifted people. He rejoiced with what God was doing. How many are glad that God has brought some people into your life? I'm thankful he's brought some people in my life over the years who can encourage us. There's a lot of people that can drag you down. But I'm thankful that there can be a Barnabas in our lives. This past Monday, I remember the loss of a great friend 3 years ago who would speak words of encouragement into my own life and ministry and be a source of helping me to just keep on trusting Jesus in my daily life. And Barnabas was that type of person. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, that Barnabas, 36 and 37, he was called the son of encouragement, and he sold the field. He had a field that he sold, and he gave the money to the apostles. He had a generous spirit. He had a spirit not of a scarcity mentality, but a giving mentality. Don't you appreciate people that are willing to give and sacrifice and allow their lives to be God, to be his hand extended? But then we find another chapter where Barnabas is seen, some characteristics about him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, you know what happened? Saul comes to know Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. And it says in Acts 9, 26, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, this is Saul, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Then it goes on to say, but Barnabas, somebody believed in him, somebody stood with him. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And they begin to receive Paul, and he preaches the gospel, and many people continually to respond and hear the message. John Maxwell characterizes Barnabas with these three designations. He had nothing to prove. He had a servant's heart. He didn't promote himself. He promoted the gospel. He had nothing to lose. He would give willingly and freely. He shared himself and his resources. He was a man of encouragement. He was a person that you need in your life. But I'm asking God to help me as I get older to be a man that would encourage other people. Let's remember the young people down in the lighthouse tonight. Let's remember the Royal Ranger boys and girls and in girls' ministries and rangers. Let's be an encouragement to them when we see them and pray for them and see God working in their lives in a mighty way. When Barnabas came to Antioch, he saw what God had done, and he was glad. He saw the grace of God. He exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord. Don't we need that today in 2020? Let's continue to be faithful. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, O foolish Galatians, you are running so well. You are running the race that Christ had set before you. Who got in front of you and kind of got you off course? You know, the enemy will always try to divide and conquer, doesn't he? If he could do that in our lives, he sure will, as often as he can. He will find a way in. We're not unaware, Paul says, of his schemes or his devices. And we see God working and moving in such a powerful and unique way. The enemy will try to distract people in 2022. He'll try to deceive people. That's why Paul would say to the church, wherever he went, to remain steadfast and to remain steady and faithful. The enemy will try to demotivate. He'll try to discourage. He'll try to defeat the work of God. He'll try to destroy it if he can. He's a thief, Jesus said in John 10. The thief comes to break in and steal and destroy. But how many are glad it goes on to say, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. That's what came to Antioch. That made the difference. That's what made the difference in Thessalonica. That's what made the difference in Ephesus. They turned from idols to serve the living God. Praise God. So we see Barnabas, a good man, coming to Antioch and encouraging, strengthening the people. And we see in his life that he had nothing to prove. He had nothing to lose. And he had nothing to hide. He was sincere, without wax. He was a real person. Perfect? No. Vulnerable? Transparent? We learn lessons in his ministry with Paul and Barnabas. You know what I like about Barnabas? He didn't need to be top billing. He didn't need to promote himself. When he hooked up with Paul for missionary journeys, he kind of took a back seat. It was Paul and Barnabas. But he wanted to extend the message of the gospel, not himself. Let's move along. So after he sees the work of God, the breakthrough in a city, now with the Gentiles responding to the gospel message and hearing it and turning to the Lord, and many people coming, it says in verse 25 of Acts 11, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Interesting. So we move into this aspect. Barnabas goes and looks for Saul. He finds him there in Tarsus. We don't know how long Paul was there. But he brings him back to Antioch, and they spend a year. And when I read that they were a year and they moved from among the people in Antioch, they taught many people, they met with the church. Perhaps, Stephen, it was the first connect group there in the book of Acts. Yeah, I don't know. Pastor Franco would be happy to hear that, I'm sure. But they met on a regular basis. Why? To encourage people. I come on Wednesday night because in the midst of a busy week or a week where you rub shoulders with people, you might not always be the most popular person in your neighborhood. You might be having a tough time on the job. But isn't it good to walk through these doors and open up with praise and worship and prayer and seeking God and be encouraged by someone? We leave here different than when we came. We leave this place to go forward into a Thursday encouraged in the greatness of our God. And it says that when they met for a year in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. They came to Antioch, they taught the people, and they were first called Christians in Antioch, which can mean followers of the way, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the outsiders, gave the people in Antioch, they noticed that this was changed, their lives were changed by their walk and their word. In Antioch, they were known for giving people nicknames or kind of flippant with jesting or fooling around a lot of times. But this was a name that these people filled by the power of God, it was the beginning of disciples being known as Christ followers. Remember, later on in the book of Acts, we'll come to it in the weeks and months ahead. In Acts 27, Paul comes before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says to him, "Do you think, Paul, in a short time that you can convince me to become what? A Christian." And in the book of Peter, Peter would remind them later on that he would say that there are times in the life of every Christian that they're going to suffer some type of persecution. And many of you know what that's like, to be ostracized, to be dismissed or discounted, maybe by a family member. Maybe when you came to know Christ, everything changed in your life, but people wanted you to be the person you were before. But thanks be to God, you're not the same person. You're a new creature in Christ. You broke through the barrier of sin and shame like the people there in Antioch. So we find Paul ministering time and time again where people and Barnabas needed to hear the good news of the gospel. And then in verses 27 to 30, "Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch." You know, God has a special time and purpose for everything. And he's going to use this prophet by the name of Agabus. It says, "And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world." This took place in the days of Claudius, which refers to the Roman world of that time. So the disciples determined, I love this, the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so. They heard there was a need, but like we saw Peter last week and Cornelius, they responded to what God was saying to them in their lives. And they did so, sending it to the elders, the deacons, by the hand of Paul and Barnabas. So we see these prophets come down from Jerusalem. Agabus stood and foretold by the Spirit of a great famine. The disciples heard it, yes, but they also acted. They were determined to respond to this priority. They sent relief to the believers in Jerusalem. And I like this, the spirit of generosity that Barnabas had, the same spirit that the church of Jerusalem had back in Acts chapter 2. Remember, they had all things in one accord. They shared freely and openly. They didn't have a scarcity mentality. They had a generous spirit about them. May that be said of us here in Bethany, that our lives would be generous to encourage, to lift up, to share the gospel here in Springfield, in your city. I'm thankful that if God can move in Antioch, he can move in Holyoke, he can move in downtown Springfield, he can move where you work, where you live, he can move in a family member whose life is hard-hearted and perhaps walking in the ways of darkness. Tim Keller talks about counterfeit gods and how people have used a power or money or control to be a more sophisticated god here in the 21st century. But I want to say in closing that these people heard the need and they responded. God broke through in Antioch in a powerful way. Lives were changed. A great number of people came to Christ. It wasn't equal giving, but it was equal sacrifice. The same spirit the Jerusalem church had, now we see it expanding. At a pivotal time, God continues to move and pour out his spirit. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Shana, if you'd come. Can we stand in God's presence? I want these closing moments once again, that turn our hearts to the Lord and believe for a great breakthrough. Let's come even now, find a place of prayer, to know that God can move in your city. He can move where you work. He can move in our Antioch, our Springfield. He can break through. Let's believe for a great number. Do you know someone that needs to have a breakthrough in their life? Do you know somebody that needs to be set free? Do you know somebody even here tonight? Maybe it's you that needs to know a fresh empowering of God's Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to allow God's Spirit to speak to you and through you. Let's say as the song, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree and say, yes, Lord, yes." Only you know what God's saying to you. But if you know of a situation, wherever that may be, I'm thankful that if God can move in Antioch, He can move here in the Pioneer Valley. Let's find a place of prayer, Bethany. As Shani would lead us, let's spend a few moments seeking the Lord while He may be found. Let's allow God's Spirit to prepare us to serve His purpose here in the greater Springfield area in the days ahead. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Move here, Lord God. Move in our cities. Jesus' mighty name.